basically, I'm not getting a new stereo. I'm getting a new-to-me stereo. I ordered my dream stereo. I got a 1986 Bang & Olufsen Baio Center 9000 coming. And one of those flat ones. It's the last of the flat table mount, not the wall mount ones, which came in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's got the slide door that opens for the CD and the slide door that opens for the cassette player. And it has all, it's just flat glass, red backlit buttons. It's just a beautiful piece. And I started looking at that and thinking, that's going to make my old box TV look really mournful. And so I got the new TV, and I'm in the market for speakers, if you got anything. I want something good, warm, vintage, probably. So, yeah, there's that. That's what's with the TV.
You know what?
What?
I wonder if my dad still has his old Marantz speakers.
Ooh, I would take them. I would take them, the pair that I like right now, or some old piano.
They're the ones that sit out in the garage that when you want to listen, the old, he's got an old, I want to say, God, I can't even remember what brand this receiver is, but it's freaking ancient. I mean, complete with toggle switches on it. Okay.
I've got an old tube amp that my dad actually built from a kit.
And it's got Marantz speakers for it, and these things have been around since, I mean, this was the stereo that I had in high school.
I'll take them.
Of course you would. I'll see what my dad wants.
Do you know new speakers are way better now?
Yeah, but I like that warm old.
What he just wants,
fashion man.
What he wants is old speaker cabinets with new speakers in them.
Kinda.
He wants new technology in an old box.
Yeah.
So he'd be really happy if you put like if you when you put an LS, you know, an LS3 into a Camaro, a '67 Camaro, you know. You still got the old Camaro, but you've got an LS3.
I don't know. My modern speakers sound kind of tinny. It's just me. It's not just me. There's a lot of people.
Have you heard mine?
Yeah, no. Yeah,
I just...
Yeah. That's just a lot of people who just don't want to, like, admit it.
I just... That's
who I am. I mean, I was particularly careful when I bought mine because I didn't want one of those DVD combo things, but I bought one of the box sets. I've got an actual receiver.
You've got a center and five channels and the whole wazoo.
Yeah. And it's little tiny. I mean, you've seen them. I've got little tiny speakers.
Yeah, that's not what I want.
But it gets plenty freaking loud. I can piss off every neighbor that I've got if I wanted to.
Don't doubt it. It's not what I want.
Of course it's not what you want. But mine still has plenty of bass response.
That's good.
So
I believe.
You can't say the bass sound.
Possibly more than the vintage fucking thing that I will be ending up getting eventually, but it's neither here nor there.
Yeah, your vintage thing is going to cost way more.
It's not.
Way more.
Yeah.
I spent $350 on it. It was a birthday present to myself.
That's the thing. It's like now, for very little, you can get a lot.
You can get
compared to
I agree.
In the day. But you're getting
I do have a friend that rebuilds old stuff.
You're getting the Bang and the Olufsen's thing. So
an Olufsen thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so you can look like you're in the future, back when the future was 1985.
86, but yes.
Yeah.
The studio looks very futuristic, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very 2001.
Yeah, okay. Pretend you're dressed like Jodie Foster.
I'm still rolling the sleeves up on my T-shirts. Come on, man. Give me a break.
You're so boss, Tyler.
I am. No.
You're so hip with it.
Oh, God. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are Ruined Heroes. We are a...
Yes, we are.
Weekly self-produced podcast wherein the three of us discuss a topic of societal renown. Tyler, study as if the fan were trying to cool off my home, which it is right now. John
wishes that his fans actually cooled off his home.
And Rupert
is welding, tanned, ready, and wested.
Nice.
Yeah.
And wested?
Wested. Yeah.
That Wesley.
Wetty Weston. So you can find us obviously anywhere you find your podcast, but if you do it through Apple Podcasts or iTunes, please subscribe, rate, and review. That helps people see us. You can also get direct downloads on our website, ruinedheroes.com, to interact with us. We are ruinedheroespod@gmail.com, on Facebook, and on Twitter. Somebody actually guessed our topic on Twitter this week, which is cool. If you really dig us, then please support us by donating at patreon.com/ruinedheroes. For just $1 a month, you get access to our extra sodes and
click
rewards
the link from our site.
There is a link from the site, yes.
Yep, just click it.
So, lots of ways to interconnect with all of that. Hoorah, hoorah, hoorah. Yes, should we get into it? The intro.
Well, hold on. Let's just... We did the date with Rasputin, and he got that one. So let's do the famous date.
Well, let's just do an intro real quick. I've got a good one.
Whatever. It's going to be one of those.
The information on this topic is so current that I couldn't help but stumble on it. There's a court case and a guy and a parole hearing.
Oh, fuck. Are we doing, if we're doing OJ?
We are totally doing OJ. What's fucked up is John and I picked this topic 2 weeks ago, and then the parole hearing happened. I had no idea it was coming. We didn't know whether it was going to be this current. But, yeah, the parole hearing was literally last week.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, everybody knew it was coming up.
He's actually been throwing OJ at me for a while, and
I follow true crime, and I had no fucking clue. I don't know what closet I have.
Yeah, obviously not very closely. That's like all I've been hearing about it. Orenthal's getting out.
Juice is loose. Hints on the Facebook. On Facebook was Ron Goldman and his sister. On Twitter, you then got a Kim Kardashian one. You got a bunch of guys at the Dodger game before the murder trial. And finally, the last one is his mom, Eunice Simpson, at the trial. If anybody cares. So, born Orenthal James Simpson.
He did it!
Yeah, I think he did. Anyhow, OJ or the
Spoiler
Juice.
Alert, he did it.
Born July 9th, 1947, in San Francisco, California, to Eunice and Jimmy Lee Simpson. At age 2, he contracted rickets and had to wear shoes with an iron bar connecting them for a few hours every day to correct his pigeon toes and bowed legs.
Oh, wow. I knew a kid who had to wear those.
Well, he didn't have braces.
He was made fun of mercilessly.
Well, he was supposed to have, like, the ones that your buddy knew, the actual braces. His parents couldn't afford it.
No.
So, like, literally just used an iron board and some shit.
No, that's what they had. They, you know, when you're babies or something, or toddlers, you would go to sleep with these things with, like, two baby shoes bolted to a board. It was an actual medical device.
It was.
Yeah. And so, it's like, I saw this kid trying to sleep in that, and it was, like, pitiful.
It was very pitiful. So, yeah, he did that.
That's, okay, so there's the cause.
That's where he got his recent legs.
That's the root cause right there, his anger.
His parents separated in 1952, and by all accounts, I could not find a photograph, but by all accounts, his dad became a very well-known drag queen.
Eventually is that right? Really?
Yes. Eventually came out publicly as gay, died from AIDS-related symptoms in 1986. It is, you know, there's a little contesting, but most people say that this is the truth. Some people say that Jet Magazine said that he died of cancer, but most everybody says it was AIDS-related complications. And so OJ's dad was apparently a drag queen on the scene.
What was his stage name?
I never could find it. I looked and looked. I was like, come on, they had fucking cameras then. There's got to be a photograph. Only photos I could find of Jimmy Lee were him as a male.
And he dies in 86.
Yeah.
So OJ was a huge star while his dad's out doing drag shows?
Yeah.
Well, we don't know if he did shows.
That's true.
But, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. It may be the only thing that's interesting, but it's interesting.
I didn't think I'd be interested at all in this, and right now...
Wow, your crank's getting turned.
I've risen to the occasion.
In 1967, so he wasn't even out of college yet, he's 20 years old, he marries his first wife, Marguerite L. Whitley. They have 3 kids, but the youngest drowned in a swimming pool around age 2.
So they say.
Could be the beginning of a trend.
Well, I mean, if your wife is named Marguerite...
It's a good name.
I don't know. It's kind of sexy, but at the same time, you can see how it gets annoying over the years.
Yeah, and you're going to end up calling her Marge or something, which isn't a sexy name.
Yeah.
Either way, they divorced 2 years later, the same year he retired from football, actually. No. Yeah, 2 years after the child died. So they were married for a number of years, but he retired from football in, I don't remember. We'll get to it. It's later. Although he was a good football player in high school, his grades were poor, but he attended City College in San Francisco, where he was a star, and then moved on to USC, where he won the Heisman Trophy in 1968. This is where, in his junior year, he made a very, very famous 62-yard return for a touchdown, and... you guys know, at least you've seen at least enough football to know that generally they kind of run to the sideline and then just charge down and get past everybody and all this, right? OJ zigzagged back and forth the full width of the field. the whole way down. And guys just falling and clamoring and just crashing, trying to catch him. It was really, it's an amazing, amazing football run. Very exciting. He was drafted by the Buffalo Bills in 1969, but was not able to shine until the team restructured their offense. This is when he started setting and breaking records. The first player to rush more than 2,000 yards in a season, 1973. Most touchdowns in a season, 23 in 75, but that's since been broken. 273 rushing yards in one game in 1976. He retired from football in 1979 and is currently the 11th all-time rushing yards leader. All-time. So, what else do you want to talk about him? There's a little fact stuff.
He did it.
Come on.
Well, probably it's like most thing he's most famous for, though. Like, Hertz car commercials?
Hertz car commercials, yep. Which were kind of boring. Clamoring. We're running around, jumping over people and turnstiles and shit.
No, I don't think so, because I don't think you're viewing him in context.
Well, he did about. He must have done Wheaties as well at some point.
I don't know. He might have been on a box of Wheaties.
It was one of those things
of people Caitlyn Jenner was on a box of
He
Wheaties.
Was doing the commercials. Wasn't he doing the commercials before he left football?
I believe so.
Yeah, because he was doing those.
Yep.
And see, that's that's why you're not he was appreciating on Wheaties. It.
All right.
That's why you're not appreciating it. Because, like, O.J. Simpson was the face. I mean, I really hate to say it, but, like, he was the face of Black America.
Yeah, he was.
That I mean, it is really hard to over. It's hard to overemphasize that. Like,
In the '80s, he got away with interracial marriage, which was still kind of a hot button.
Yep.
Interracial children.
Yep.
I mean, that's that. And when if that shows you the kind of power that he had as a face of America.
Well, he was heavily regarded as a super chill, nice guy too. Okay. That was what everybody thought.
Well, you know, in the '70s,
speak
in the '70s and stuff. You know, there was still certainly in the '60s, but still into the '70s, you had busing and all that kind of stuff. So there was a lot of racial stuff, but like,
yep.
It's kind of a bad thing to say, but O.J. was the black man white America was comfortable with.
He was, yeah.
Because
that even a lot of, I mean, I was just reading about this in the psychology thing today. It's like, even though we have stereotypes, when we're confronted with a person that doesn't meet the stereotype, then we call them a subtype, and they fit into a different category. It doesn't make us change our stereotype. It just makes us, like, okay, he's an exception to the rule rather than the rule. What you end up with is these guys that are, you know, the armchair quarterbacks saying, fuck yeah. Rock that man. He's good, yada, yada, yada. But at the same time, the same people in the South are going to be like, I don't want my white daughter ever dating a black man.
Well, it's not just the people in the South. Oregon has a super racist
history. Of course. You know, they just renamed two of the buildings on the U of O campus because of racism.
And they still haven't fixed the Dallas Dragons, which they got to do that.
So. But the thing of it was is, like, everybody was comfortable with O.J. You saw him. He was always jumping through. It's kind of weird because, like, in a sense, it sort of fit the stereotype because he was jumping a turnstile to get the biggest run of car. Breaking the law, man. So it's kind of weird, but, like, you know, OJ was just, he was just it. People loved him. There wasn't anybody who didn't love him. You know, he was a cool guy. Even somebody, you know, and most racism is not like, yeah, I'm in the Klan. Most racism is like, I don't know any black people, and I just don't like black people, even though I don't know any of them. That's the form
of
most racism.
Or the family
was
once wronged by somebody of a race, and now that family just...
Well, they don't really have a reason for it. They just don't like them because they don't know them. But everybody felt they knew O.J. because he's this, like...
Well, not necessarily.
And he wasn't just a sports
star. Yeah, that's generally
it wasn't just a sports star.
Sure.
That is now, but back then, they were still viewed as subhuman.
No, it's true.
That has nothing to do with what I said. It's like they don't like them, but they don't really have any experience with them.
They didn't view them as human.
They don't have experience with themselves. That's why they're racist in the first fucking place.
Yeah,
anyway...
it's the same thing as, like, gay marriage. Mm-hmm. Everybody was like, I don't like gay people. And it's like, well, then after a while, you know, gay marriage comes up, gay shouldn't be allowed to marry. And it's like, after a while it comes up, people start thinking about it, like, you know, I don't really know any gay people. And it's like, well, Jim over here says, I'm gay and I support gay marriage. And says, really? You've been gay all this time? Yeah, I have. And it's like, okay, you know, and then you can get more comfortable with it because you find out, like, oh, yeah.
Well, one of the biggest arguments I heard back in the, you know, the early, mid-90s was, I'm all for gay people, but I don't want them to have any special rights. Well, what kind of rights are they asking for? To get married? That's not special.
That's not special at all.
Yeah. That's not a special fucking right.
Married? Yeah.
You know, that's not a special right. Being able to wake up and not have to worry about their asses getting kicked because they want to stick their dick somewhere else than you want to stick yours. That's not special. That's not a special right.
Agreed.
Okay, so go ahead. So, go back to your OJ thing.
Power to Jimmy Lee Simpson. Next. So he started acting in 1974 while he was still working as a football player, and this is some of the Hertz Rent-A-Car things. But the first movie that I really saw of him was in 1974. He played... I only watched the trailers. I didn't watch the whole movie. I really might watch the whole movie because it's got Lee Marvin in it, and I fucking love Lee Marvin. But anyhow, he played a man who was framed for raping a white woman, according to IMDb, or killing his wife, according to biography.com. The movie was called The Klansman. And it is straight up hooded Klansman chasing down OJ, running through the woods in the trailer. And Lee Marvin's the cop that used to be a Klansman and now tells them to go fuck themselves and starts fighting for the OJ character's side. And but either way, like, framed for raping a white woman or killing your wife, this may have been a premonition.
Hmm.
But
1974.
It was, and it's kind of, the trailer makes it look kind of brutal.
But I feel like we also saw OJ in various skit comedy things. Like, didn't he make appearances on variety shows? Or wasn't he in Love American Style?
He was
in Two of the Naked Guns.
Those were 80s though.
Yeah.
But like in the 70s, wasn't he on things like the Carol Burnett Show or something?
Yeah.
Here's Lucy. Yeah. I think he was on Love American Style. I don't know. He would pop up in all these
things. All kinds of
Dragnet.
Yeah. That's the modern Dragnet movie.
No.
Not the old one, right?
No, the old one.
No, the old one was in the 60s.
Yes, 1968, Dragnet.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
Huh?
I looked at the IMDb page.
He was in Roots. Obviously
didn't go too far.
Yeah. He's in Roots?
Yep.
Wow. I cannot remember what he played in Roots, but okay.
Catty Touré.
Okay.
Or Katie, or I don't know.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
2006, he had a show called Juiced. It was a prank show.
That's not even on my IMDb.
I didn't look for one of those. I just couldn't.
Adventures in Wonderland.
He was also an NBC sportscaster. Yeah. He was called inarticulate and was not liked by a lot of people, but he had character, and that kind of got him through. People liked his character.
Well, one of the other things is when you are that far, dude, do not lick the. Okay, please do not lick the power cords. That is just not something I need my dog to do. That is something your dog would do.
Yeah, here's that, but we cut out. It's because Noah ate the power cords.
Dude, what are you doing?
I don't know. Just somehow complaining about a sportscaster being inarticulate seems a bit ridiculous.
Yes.
Well, it's because he wasn't a sportscaster.
Well, he wasn't Howard Cosell.
Yeah, right.
You know.
He played to his name. And, you know, even after he stopped playing football, he played to his name real well. He turned his name into a brand, and that was
yes.
And that's, you know, that's smart business.
Yeah.
I mean, that really is. That's the kind of thing that, you know, Brett Favre is trying to do. A lot of these people, once they retire, their name is out there.
Elway has a whole chain of car dealerships in Denver.
Okay, there you go. You know, it's turn your name into a brand, and you will continue to make money on it, even though, you know, Elway didn't need money.
No, not at all. But you had to do something with it.
Yeah. Other than pay taxes on it.
Yeah. Oh, and Elway also did sportscasting and stuff. There's lots of football players, especially now, that is kind of the trend. My understanding is that people become sportscasters after they quit playing pro sport, whatever it is, be it tennis or anything.
Mm-hmm.
They become sportscasters. But... So yeah, I mean, he was around a lot in our eyes. And then in 2006, he was going to publish a book called If I Did It.
He did publish a book.
No, he didn't.
That book made it out.
It did, but...
It was a ghostwriter.
It was a retelling. No, it was a retelling of him having committed the murder if he had.
Yeah.
And how he would have done it. Oddly, a federal bankruptcy judge awarded the rights to the Goldman's family and was published in as If I Did It, Confessions of a Killer in 2007.
Right.
So Goldman ended up putting, or Goldman's trust family ended up putting out that book, not OJ. And changing it, turning it around, making it Confessions instead of...
Wait, when did this book come out?
2007 is when it finally made out.
And when was the trial?
Okay. The O.J. trial was in 1994.
Yeah. Oh, seriously?
Yes. Yeah, the murders happened on
So the book comes out 13 years later. That's really weird because the Goldmans, he won in the criminal trial, but the Goldmans shortly thereafter, I think a year after at best, they won in civil court.
In 1997, he loses a civil court lawsuit for wrongful death and is ordered to pay Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman's estates a total of $33.5 million. I've heard reports that he's paid back maybe 10%.
But see, that's so weird that he would put out that book, because like he puts out the book well after the civil judgment, which he hasn't paid, so he knows it's going to be attached. That's really strange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's weird, huh?
Well, that's an ego.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm. I mean, of anything that we've noticed about this guy, it's he has an ego.
Oh, that's one thing everybody will agree on.
He does have an ego, and he's got a couple other things going on with him. Like, there is the strong possibility, especially now, they're doing a lot of studies about chronic traumatic encephalopathy. But basically, it's they've seen it mainly in football players. They suspect that wrestler that killed his wife and kids,
Chris
had
Benoit.
Yes, Chris Benoit, thank you. And they've seen it in anybody that does lots of high impact, high energy, and head injury related activities. The downside is they can't check for it until you die, because it requires an autopsy to be able to see if you had it. But in essence, what it is, it's an illness that eventually leads to dementia, which is frequently comes out in violently driven outbursts. And it might explain some of his issue. We won't know until he's dead.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, he had a history of violence.
Yeah, no, he was just a violent guy. Yeah. He did the
and people, in any case, you know, the way it works is that when...
What?
Even
what?
Even if you have a history of violence and you are America's baby face, they overlook it.
Yeah,
oh, there was something wrong. He just made a mistake. You know, and it's celebrity-itis as well. It's, you know, the public is very willing to forgive celebrity for being human. Though they're being human. No, I got to tell you, beating the shit out of your wife is
not
human.
Is
being a dick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, sorry, it's just the way it is.
So it started in 1962. He was part of a juvenile gang called the Persian Warriors. He ended up in a fight in the ended up in a
worst
hey,
what
facility. Worst of Persian Warriors.
Worst gang name ever. Absolute worst gang name ever.
I know.
I mean, I know
really
I've got
bad.
The Persian Warriors on my ass right now.
I had to read that over and
worst.
Over and over just because it was very funny. You can't be shitting me, really.
That I mean,
the
that,
Persian
that
Warriors.
Not, I mean, they may have been some very bad men, but I cannot. That doesn't instill fear in
some
children.
I wonder if any of them were Persian.
Regardless.
Because OJ's fucking not.
Regardless. What kind of a name is that?
I don't know, dude. I wasn't in the fucking gang.
Yeah, and I don't know. Somehow it doesn't really conjure.
You can name your gang after
it doesn't conjure up
scarier.
Persian warriors like King Xerxes, bring the hell down. It conjures up for me Big Fluffy Cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Flouncy Pants. You know,
I'm thinking of a genie. Like,
a genie and a rug and a magic bottle or lamp, and totally.
Bring me Aladdin. Okay, where's Aladdin at? That's not the Immortals from King Xerxes.
Yeah, it's like, the only good, like, Middle Eastern gang tie-in name that's ever worked is the Pharaohs.
That's
it.
Kind of okay.
That's the only one that ever worked.
Yeah.
You know, Bo Hopkins gang in American Graffiti, but that's it.
Well, like I said, you can name your gang after a street. The Sixth Street Gang sounds way more menacing.
That's right? Always sounds better. Yeah.
Where do you? We're 123rd.
Or something.
You know what? I would be more afraid of a gang calling themselves the Strawberry Shortcake. Okay?
Yeah.
Because they've got the nuts to say we are the Strawberry Shortcakes, okay? What kind of damage do they suffer from?
Yeah, you better watch out. The Shortcake's going to get your ass.
Yeah, weren't they involved in the Stonewall riots?
Oh, yeah. Shortcakes come along, they bust a cap off at him like it's nothing. Right in front of the police station.
Yeah, because you could just sit there and see some 350-pound, 6'7" dude just running around saying, "Yo, I'm a shortcake. Mm-hmm. What you gonna do?"
So you're saying it's like the motorcycle gang naming the big guy Tiny?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm a shortcake.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, you can see.
Dude, here's some strawberries.
Yeah, the Persian Warriors, 1962.
Shitty gang name. God.
Here's your turban and a rug.
I'm just like sort of wondering what their colors look like.
I don't know.
Because like I'm thinking like
burgundy and gold.
I'm thinking a black leather jacket guy sitting with a turban on a rug flying.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, you know, I took
your talk about stereotypes. I'm really glad I wrote that one down.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
I don't know, weird gang names there's a gang name like that kind of works. The Mongols.
The Mongols are...
That was a good gang name.
Oh, they're still around.
Yeah, I know, but they had, you know, all you Mongols out there, I'm not making fun of you, but, like, they had kind of that same action with their symbol. Mm-hmm. You know, the Mongol guy with it. He was sort of a little bit... He wasn't really a very threatening-looking guy. But, like, they were the most threatening gang ever. I mean,
they're a bunch of nuts.
Yeah, they're the scariest gang there ever was, kind of. Yeah. Well, I don't know. There's lots of scary gangs.
There's the I-5 Road Brothers that aren't real great.
Yeah, whatever.
Jokers aren't people you want to hang out with.
When we're off, I'll tell you a couple of stories.
They're fun and
about
regular,
Mongols,
but they made the name work.
Yeah.
That was a scary-ass name. But, like, the Persian Warriors, I don't think...
Just doesn't do it.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
But it's 62, and he was born in 47, so he's 15, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
I don't ask the flat earthers if my math is correct.
15-year-old gang members can be scary.
Yeah, well, and it was apparently...
Well, usually any male in that age range that...
Yeah.
Sees joining a gang as a viable option is going to be scary.
Yeah.
Because they have no...
They got nothing to worry about, you know?
Yeah, they have no family. They have no...
The 15 years old, you have no fear of anything.
No. And all you're doing is trying to exert your dominance over everything else around you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have a healthy way to, you know, channel any of that.
True. Very true.
Yeah, so, hey, let's join the Persian Warriors and see what happens.
Apparently the Persian Warriors wasn't his first gang. I didn't find the name of any of the other gangs, but he had apparently moved from through a couple gangs and decided to move up to the Persian Warriors.
Yeah, so
I don't know who he was with before that.
I think he was with the Bitter Lattes.
The Dull Pencils.
The Dull Pencils, yeah.
So good.
So was that what the whole scuffle in the motel room was about? Was he was trying to get back his Persian
Warriors colors?
His cut?
No, we'll get there, though. Let's do... It's just good. The Persian Warriors is still super funny.
You know, if they had a clubhouse shaped like a bottle,
that would be so cool.
It'd be so cool.
Or a magic lamp.
Yeah.
An oil lamp.
And if you wanted to be a Persian Warriors bitch, you had to, like, wear the genie costume.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So that was his first real offense. Fast forward 30 years. 1989, he was arrested for beating his second wife, Nicole Brown. He ended up with 2 years probation, some community service, and a psych evaluation after a plea of no contest, which means he's technically convicted of a crime at that point in time. So, not really known to be treating Nicole very well.
No. And that's... When you... when you have high-profile people that live their life by aggression, you end up with more spousal abuse. I mean, Mike Tyson was guilty of it.
So many of these
MMA fighters.
There's been a couple of them who beat the shit out of their wives.
Phil Spector.
Phil Spector? Ike Turner.
He's a Christian fucker.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many of them. And when you live your life by aggression and you're in the spotlight like that, I mean, the spotlight will fuck anybody's world up.
All right, well, okay, so let's go to percentages again. Percentage of famous people and the percentage of famous people that are beating their wives, is that any different than the percentage of people over the general populace that are beating their wives?
No, I don't know that that would be...
That's kind of what we put out here just now.
Yeah, that's sort of what we put out, but I don't think that that's true.
Yeah, I think that maybe they're going to be very similar in percentages.
You don't hear about, but there's also the idea: is the causation the correlation? Does the stress of being out in the public cause some of that?
Cause them to behave more erratically,
or does the?
I think just the natural propensity for violence.
I don't know. Okay.
Or does the violent?
I don't know.
The violent thing that they are doing. I'm sorry.
Well, no, the violent thing that they are doing, like the MMAs, the footballs, the pro wrestlings, the all of those guys that are they're physical for a living, so they're used to communicating physically. I mean, it's that's one of the things.
Communicating in air quotes.
Yeah. Which one's which? I mean, does the stress? I mean, you also have people like Mel Gibson, who's
nuts.
Yeah, just absolutely.
He's come back a little bit, but he went totally nutters for a while.
But he was never a he's not in a physical, you know, he's not an MMAer, he's not anything like that. But he's done shit like that. And does the stress of being in the limelight cause some of it? I could see it
because if you think about it, if you're a famous in the limelight person, I mean, if you think about it on your own self, like if you've got a girlfriend who like all of a sudden just things aren't working out, it's possible for that girlfriend to be like, you know what, I'm gonna tell everybody how you are and make a schmuck out of you. With any breakup, it can work both ways that way. You know, I'll make a schmuck out of you if we break up. That kind of thing. And it's a threat. Yeah. But if you're famous, that's a huge threat.
It is.
Yes. That is a really huge threat.
Not that OJ was innocent, but if you were in that position and it came out that you were being an asshole at home, that's in the news, innocent or not, nobody's ever going to forget that because you are on the
limelight. Right. And in other words, the higher your reputation, the more the person you're with has an opportunity to ruin it.
Yeah.
You know, you got a homeless cop who breaks up onto the bridge, not much of a threat.
He suddenly found out Elon Musk was beating the shit out of his wife.
Right.
That would change
if she starts saying that. Yeah. You know.
Can we say that about our president?
Everybody would just say, go figure.
They'd probably believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's just put that out there. Hashtag Trump beats his wife.
Jesus Christ. God. Watch your Twitter feed.
Yeah. It's our Twitter feed, just so that you know.
Oh, I'm not taking any claim on that one right now.
So anyway.
It's a low-hanging fruit.
Well, true. But, you know...
You know, at this stage, Trump jokes are they're the equivalent of slapstick comedy. It's just like...
It's still funny.
No, not really.
I still like the Three Stooges. Yeah. That's just it.
It's just... What else?
Taking the low-hanging fruit. Hey, you know, short people gotta eat, too.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not 6 foot tall like you.
Jealousy.
So, 1989 is when he copped a plea for beating Nicole. 5 more years after that, June 12th, 1994, Nicole Brown and her friend/lover, depending on what you believe, Ron Goldman, are found fucking brutally murdered.
This is after 2 years of being divorced.
Yes. Simpson gets off in 1995 after a trial that changed the face of news and
sports. They were divorced for two years.
Yeah.
Then he whacks her. I thought they were living together.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Nope. He lived about 6 miles from her?
I didn't look up that.
I don't know.
My geography's bad enough. I was not going to do that.
Well, wherever she was living, I know he was paying for it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what alimony is. And apparently, she was buying lots of drugs with some of that money. And that's one of the conspiracies, is that that O.J. didn't do it, that the drug dealers that she owed money to did. Or maybe there was even a mix-up in that, and that they mistook her for another lady who owed them even more money, and they whacked the wrong person. But I don't know, there's just, like, dude, blood in the car. I'm sorry, the glove fucking fit. You just faked that shit. You know, like, play balloon hand, that thing where you blow on your thumb and inflate your hand. Like, it just, it was a game changer of a trial, though. It was, prior to that, if you remember, we only got courtroom drawings.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was the first case where we got actual footage, but prior to that, we had courtroom.
There was always the
no.
Yeah. I mean, yes. No. This is what made it popular, though.
This is what turned it around, and this is what brought it heavily into the public eye. Yeah, it really did change the game.
You can say Judge Ito, and everybody knows who the fuck you're talking about.
Judge Ito. Well, that's why your computer has a light up apple on the cover. It's because of Judge Ito, because Apple was doing that. Like, they'd just come out with that, and Ito was sitting there with his laptop open on the bench during the trial, and that's why every computer now has that, so that when it's open, anybody can see it.
What kind it is.
And we saw a lot of that kind of stuff. That's, you know, because, like, essentially they start taking sports branding and applying it to everyday objects.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you see...
Well, they've used it in movies for years. I mean, the Pepsi can's always facing the right direction for the...
No, but that's...
Unless they weren't sponsored,
that's
turned around.
That's not changing the design of the product.
No.
Previous to that, you had only seen it in sports products, where it was this odd placement of stuff that made sense if you viewed it from an advertising perspective. In other words, skis would always have the brand name on the bottom. Why is it on the bottom? Because if somebody takes a picture of you in a jump, then they catch the ski brand name, right?
Or from the ski lift.
And that had been going on forever, right? But then you started seeing it, after Judge Ito, you started seeing it applied to laptops and everything, so that if this was something that, you know, because people started buying Apple like crazy after that trial, because Ito was using one.
It also changed the way the news looks at court cases.
Yeah.
There's a book that I'm just
Judge
about done with.
Judge and People's Courts went through the roof.
We had People's Court in the mid-80s.
Yeah, they were around before.
Yeah, we had that.
But these things went through the roof.
This is the commercialization of large trials. And I'm almost done with a book by Mark Furman. He was the bumbling officer in the O.J. trial. He's since become a writer and news reporter and consultant.
Well, he got smeared. He got totally smeared, and, you know, Ito was probably not condemned enough for his attitude in that trial. He was idiotic in that trial.
So what is prefaced in this book called The Murder Game? Or The Murder Business, is that trial was really when news turned around. We started seeing big trials become big media. So O.J., the JonBenet case, things like that.
Michael Jackson.
Yes.
You know, any of them.
It became much more popular in America for our news sources to provide us a lot more in-depth information about them, about court cases. And unfortunately, that also heavily affected the outcome of many of those court cases. And there is a lot to be said for the public viewing of the O.J. case fucking with the outcome. Because a lot of things ended up getting tossed out because the public knew too much about them, or it really, really changed. A fair jury was almost impossible.
I actually stayed away from the internet this time when I did my quote-unquote research, and I watched 6 hours of O.J. documentary.
Yep. Fuck in my world.
Fuck you. I will never get that 6 hours back.
I do this
back,
shit every week, dude.
And I will never do that again. I'm just going to preface myself.
I watched the entire parole hearing.
Okay. What I'm going to get at here is that... One of the things I learned in this thing, theoretically, is that one of the... witnesses, and I use that in air quotes, potential witnesses, she got taken off the witness list because she took a $5,000 hit to do an interview.
Yep.
And, you know,
as a witness, you're not allowed to have any contact with the media at all.
Yeah.
That's also as a juror. That's why that one Star Trek fan got kicked off of that other juror. And then, I don't remember what case we did, but I remember we talked about it. It you can't have contact with the media until after the case. No, it wasn't Warnos. Maybe it was during the Star Trek episode that we talked about the Star Trek kid lady getting kicked off.
I thought she was on the OJ jury, to tell you.
It wasn't. I looked it up because I thought that too. I looked it up and I just, because it wasn't an OJ fact, I just put it back.
She was on a very famous trial.
It was. It was a very, very famous trial.
I think it was Warnos then. I don't know.
I don't know.
But
either way, we're really good at our facts anyhow.
The thing about the OJ trial and the publicity around it and stuff is, like, it automatically made everybody think they were a goddamn expert, and that's, like, one of the worst things in the legal system.
We became armchair lawyers.
That is a really bad thing, because, you know, even if you watch the trial cover to cover, you don't know everything that was going on. You don't know everything.
How many people think that they've learned about the law because they've watched Law and Order, or they know about crime scene investigation because they...
I watch CSI, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, I watch Criminal Minds. I am fucking great at nailing serial killers.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I know how to commit a murder.
I might.
I can commit a murder because I watch...
I won't get caught on TV, at least.
Right.
Get caught in real life.
You shoot him with a bullet made out of ice.
Exactly. Stab him with an icicle.
Yeah, stab him with an ice knife. Yeah.
Look around for fucking cameras, because they're everywhere now.
Right.
You can get caught on fucking Google Street View killing somebody at this point in time.
Okay, so moving on.
Okay, so what was your favorite part about the trial? Highlights?
The fact that America was so two-sided about it, that so many people were cheering for him, his innocence. I actually like the way that it split America.
When that picture came out, when they showed the side-by-side of the college students, one mostly white, one mostly black, that told me everything I need to know. When that came out, I was just like, I'm done. I'm done. This country's over.
Yeah.
If we're at this stage... At the time that trial took place, which is like, you know, come on. It's like, if we're still at this stage, it's like, forget it, it's over.
We're still at that stage.
Oh, no, we've
gone far beyond that stage.
The elevator's gone down a few floors.
It has, but that elevator is still there, and it's still not on the ground floor. That's my point, is that, you know, you will still have that split that happens.
We will.
It may not be everywhere, and it may not be as intense, but it still exists.
Yeah, but, I mean, the idea that you're cheering that O.J. got off is just so ridiculous.
It's kind of insane.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing that anybody thinks he didn't do it, even with... And here's... So let's jump down some of the conspiracies, and then I wanted to do some of his more recent...
I think it's actually the hardest thing for me to believe.
Okay, stay away from the one
that... he didn't do it?
I think Flat Earth has a better argument than O.J. didn't do it.
I would agree.
Yes.
If you go with the most weird craziness...
I would agree.
It's like... But O.J. didn't do it. It's still the zenith of lunacy.
I found 9 or 10 different conspiracy theories about it.
Leave the one that I know about until last.
That's the one that first I one.
No, do that one.
That's
until,
the first
that
one.
One last. I don't care.
The one about the Bill Deere book. So that we touched on the drug dealers doing it. Would you grab me one, Rupert?
Yeah, that's fine.
We touched on Nicole owed money to drug dealers, mm-hmm. and that they killed her. That was one of them.
Yep.
We touched on the chronic traumatic
encephalopathy.
What's funny is when I was doing this, I looked and I was doing my spell checking, and I had spelled encephalopathy correctly, which I can't even fucking say. I misspelled chronic. I don't even fucking know. So then there was another one. O.J. hired serial killer Clay Rogers for the job.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. So, so he did admit to it. Clay Rogers did admit to doing it.
Of course.
But Clay Rogers also admitted to about 70 other murders that he then recanted on, saying it was a joke. And by most research I found, it says that he was probably in jail while the murder was committed.
Well, that's one of the things when you get somebody that's so psychotic like that. They've got nothing to lose other than to fuck with the system. So if it's going to humor them, they'll do it.
Yeah.
And if they're about watching the world burn, they're going to leave as many people out there. Sure, what's going to happen to me?
If you admit to a crime and you're in prison, or you help give facts on another crime while you're in prison, you get special privileges. Mm-hmm. They'll move you to a nicer cell. They'll take a little better care of you while you're going through this stuff. So, I mean, people do this all the time.
Or what's worse, if you just want to watch the world burn...
So the last
you
one,
take all the hits.
The last one I wrote down, that I, other than the one that John wanted me to leave to last, and like I said, I found easily twice as many, but it was that an Aryan cult was trying to cause trouble for the races and the courts, which I don't, like, this one was so full of holes, and that's why I quit at this one, because after this it got even worse. it was just a mesh net of an idea. It was horrible. So the one that John wanted me to leave to last is that OJ's son Jason did it.
Charlie!
So he was, there was a private detective named Bill Deere who has written a book on this, saying basically that Jason was obsessed with Nicole, and he was also mentally unstable or prone to rage. Deere says that OJ was there for the cleanup, and that's all the evidence got in his, what's the, who's it? What?
Oh, he's fine.
That's clean. Just, I haven't put the camping shit away yet. Anyhow, so, but that's how all the evidence got there, is OJ helped Jason clean up the mess. It was the most plausible of all of them, in my opinion.
Actually, no, the most plausible.
Your dog's not being helpful today.
No, he's not. the most plausible was actually that OJ still did it, but Jason, okay. And I just spent 6 hours about this one. And trust me, I want those 6 hours back. I really do. The time card, actually, which is his biggest piece of one of his biggest pieces of evidence, didn't make a whole lot of sense, because in the later deposition, the one that was held for the civil suit, he was talking about what happened on the night of the murder, what happened the week following. You know, it's like, okay, well, as soon as I found out about it, then. I took several days off work, and then we moved everybody, you know, I moved into my father's house and whatnot. Well, they presented a time card. The front of the time card has an A in the upper left corner, and what they were trying to hold him on was that the top line there...
You're not allowed to watch 6 hours of documentaries again, you're right.
Shut up. Shut up.
You can't paraphrase.
No. Their big thing here was that the top line was handwritten, and it was what they assumed to be the 12th. Therefore, you know, so here's what your alibi is, yada, yada, yada. No, what it was is there's a side A and a side B on a bi-league.
Oh, jeez, this is getting into the Obama birth certificate.
It is.
With the Obama birth certificate now.
It was a shady piece of evidence, and there was some conclusions drawn that it was from actually not from the day that they said it was.
This is the evidence that he was using. Secondly, there was this knife that he found in a storage unit.
Yes.
When it was tested, the threads did test positive for blood.
Oh, please.
And there were up to 6 contributing donors, not enough to be able to type any of them with DNA. And when pressured, the testing center said there is no way that we can distinguish, and there is no way that you can draw a conclusion from any of these findings.
Right.
Just that there is 6 contributors to this.
Right.
You know, up to 6. There are at least 3.
Because when I've got a knife... And I've hacked 6 people to death.
I toss it in the storage.
I get a storage locker for that night.
Absolutely.
I get a storage locker.
I get a storage locker. I mean, it's like that's what Jerry Springer paying for a prostitute with a credit card. Come on. I mean, come on.
I rent an 8x10 storage unit, and I put one box in there that has 3 journals in it that have me cussing out and going crazy and talking about it being the year of the knife, and da 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 da. None of them actually mentioned Nicole Brown Simpson in a negative manner. It just was teenage angst coming out on
paper. It was like really shitty emo poetry almost.
Yeah.
And yeah, I did run down the rabbit. I didn't watch 6 hours of documentary on that one fucking thing. You're not allowed to do it again. So anyway, pardon the kid in the background. Say hi to the studio audience.
What studio audience?
There is no studio audience.
Not on radio.
We're TV.
We're not?
Nope. Sorry, Rupert.
We're on computer.
So, okay.
We're ones and zeros.
Ultimately, all the other things, he just fucking... No. He did it. He did it. That's my call.
The only
I don't have any place to say that, and it is kind of slanderous for me to say legally, but I firmly believe that.
Oh, please! It's become a cultural meme.
Yes.
To the point where, like, even appeared in like it appears in movies as a joke now.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It was like in Barbershop, there's that line where they're all arguing like black people got to get over three things: Jesse Jackson's full of shit, Rosa Parks just sat down on a bus, and OJ did it. And that's a whole line in Barbershop. You know, I mean, it's become a meme.
It has become an absolute.
Like if you believe otherwise, it's like ridiculous.
So, in 2001, so we touched on the 97 case where he ended up owing the Brown and Goldman estates $33.5 million. 2001, he's involved in a road rage case, but he was cleared. This was in Florida. Weird stuff happens in Florida, though. Like, not no offense to Floridians, but we all know weird news comes from Florida a lot. So. He got off on that one. I don't quite catch how, but either way. 2007. He was recorded with some other guys, quote, robbing Bruce Fromm. This is the one that he went to jail for recently. Got a 33-year sentence.
Yeah, sports memorabilia back?
Yep, 33-year sentence. Well, this is interesting. So, this guy, Bruce Fromm, is a sports memorabilia dealer. And even he says, and he was at the parole hearing, and we'll get to some of the crazy shit he said. He says that he contacted OJ through another person to have him come get some of it because some of it was personal memorabilia, mm-hmm. like family photographs and such, not his football jersey, not a signed football, not that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. And so OJ was there for that. Well, OJ, in his fucking hopped up alcoholic state, decided to take a bunch of guys. One of them pulled a gun, and. And it was written down as a robbery. Well, after OJ was convicted and stuck in jail for this, mm-hmm. a couple years later, court case went through that awarded OJ possession of all the shit he was trying to steal.
At that point.
Somebody figure that shit out for me.
Yeah.
He may have murdered a woman, but maybe this was just a really poorly done picking up my shit deal.
Well, that's exactly what it was. And the crime that's committed by brandishing a weapon doesn't preclude the legal recourse that he had to begin with.
Right. The fact that the courts awarded him the shit.
So he could have just not pulled...
And he didn't pull the weapon.
What they probably got him on was some form of conspiracy on it.
Oh, they got him on... I wrote down a handful of things. Okay. He was up against... Okay, so where was it? 12 charges. In 2008, the jury found him guilty on 12 charges, including, not all of them, kidnapping, armed robbery, conspiracy, coercion, burglary, assault with a deadly weapon.
The conspiracy is what tied all of the other charges into it. Because they thought that by him agreeing to go in and do it, that it was a planned thing, and the conspiracy makes everybody culpable for it.
Right.
So, the fact that a gun got brandished, that's the shitty thing. Unfortunately, you know, whether or not he wanted to do it, there was a legal recourse that was later proven correct, which he could have just gone and sued
and laid on. So I did watch the entire parole hearing. So
right.
his first. Well, so in 2008 is when he was convicted. 2009 is when he got the stuff back. 2010 he appeals and is denied. 2012 there's a bunch of ruckus about disqualifying the case and poor trial practices. Blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. That fell through. 2013 he applies for parole. Was up against the same four judges that he came up against this time around. Exact same four judges.
Uh-huh.
Okay? At that point in time, they deny him parole and tell him to take some AA classes and do some self-improvement shit in prison.
A little bit of yoga.
Yeah, like whatever.
Yeah.
Stand on your head a couple times a day, whatever. Five of his convictions, however, are paroled. Two for kidnapping, two for robbery, and one for burglary with a firearm. Because technically, he didn't fucking have the firearm. So, but he still has seven more, so he's still in the clink. July 20th, 2017, after we chose this topic,
he was
granted parole. If you watch TV, use the internet, or leave the house, you probably know this. During this hearing, he states, "I basically spent a conflict-free life."
What?
Really?
Note, violence from an early age, and repeated. He also says, "I was never a guy to get into fights on the street. note the earlier deal with the juvenile corrections place when he got arrested for beating somebody up on the street.
Yeah.
I'm not a guy who lived a criminal life. I'm a pretty straight shooter. Except that he's been in and out of legal trouble since he was young. Another thing he said, I've not complained for 9 years. All I've done is try to be helpful. Except not doing the court-ordered AA meetings and all the requests for retrials, mistrials, denials of trials almost every fucking year while he was in prison. Huh? These are all direct quotes from this parole hearing where this guy, Bruce Fremont, sits down and testifies and says, we've made amends. I would pick him up from jail. He turns to OJ and goes, I mean that. With like this buddy-buddy wink-wink thing.
So what? What's your problem?
Why the fuck did they let him out?
He did 9 years for a strong-arm robbery. That's about in line. God. That sounds about... I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's about in line.
But after that testimony...
You stick up a straight-up fact call. Here's the thing. Prior bad acts can't be admitted. Prior bad acts can't be admitted. What you can do, however, is you can look at what's going on there. And did he receive a fair sentence for what he was convicted on?
That's fair.
In Vegas.
Yeah. It's fair. Yeah. It's fair. The amount of time he did was fair.
The amount of time he did was probably excessive.
No, I'd agree with that. But even, you know, if you're telling me if I walk down the street right now and stick a gun in a 7-Eleven owner's face and rob the place, I've got the gun and I've done it. And we're with him. Yeah, and we're with him. We've got a big conspiracy. If you're saying 9 years is about what I would do. It's about what I would do. So it's about what he did. And so, like, I don't really have any complaints about them paroling him. I really don't.
So the parole itself, it's what you're doing is the same thing that the judge there did. And he just heaped on time because everybody knew that O.J. did it.
Well, we finally got him on something.
Right, but you can't use
that. But you're not supposed to be doing that. You're not supposed to be doing that.
Because he was found not guilty of it.
I agree. And I know.
There's something horrible about it where you don't want that.
You don't want people like bringing up past schmuckety schmuckness.
Like I said, you gotta be fair in the judicial system. I agree with all of that.
Oh, okay.
It's just so very disappointing to me in this particular instance.
No, it's not. Come on.
It is. Well, it's because everybody knew he got away with one.
Yeah, that's what is disappointing to me. Like, well, I really wish there was some way for us to get some fucking recourse.
Tyler. He can't walk down the street without somebody sitting there saying, dude, I know you fucking did it.
And he's 70 years old now.
Uh-huh. Talk about hard to get laid. You know what?
70. It's hard to get up.
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. The next time you're sitting in a bar and you're like, God, it's so hard to get laid, think about OJ. It's got to be really hard.
Yeah. Can you imagine what the hooker is going to charge? I don't know if I'm going to make it out of this fucking building alive. I want that money escrowed to my family.
Ted Bundy. The dumb chick tried to marry Charlie Manson. There's always some dumb fucking idiot trying to marry some murderous person.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Like, they just... People get turned on by that in some way, which is where you fucking love the prison movies, the girl prison movies, Rupert.
Yes, I was several moves ahead and realized I was talking to myself five minutes ago.
Let's be very, very generous and say that that's a quarter of the public. That will secretly be fascinated some way. That means that 3 out of 4 people that you see as you walk down the fucking street every day of the week
is going to be like,
no. They're going to be like, you're a fucking dick. I don't like you.
Oh, God. I hope it's not a quarter of people who want to fuck a serial killer.
Exactly. But let's be very, very generous.
But I hope it's not that screwed up.
Well, no, let's even go worldwide because you know that shit's fucking worldwide too.
Yeah. It is.
And you can put OJ on another continent, and he's still going to get recognized.
Yeah. He is. Because they have that 1978 box of Wheaties. And so maybe it's time to wrap this up.
Amen.
Oh.
I will never get that.
I will say research was super easy because everything is right on the surface right now. So if anybody wants to do any more surface or research, go on out. There's tons of shit out there right now.
Do not spend 6 hours in documentaries.
Just don't watch that one.
Oh my God.
The parole hearing was way more interesting, it sounds like, than that one. I would recommend The People versus O.J. It is dramatized, but it is very well done.
The best thing about mine is it was narrated by Martin Sheen, okay?
Oh, God.
When it is a plus that it has been narrated by Martin Sheen.
Because he's a billion years old, he can't stand up.
He's wrapping up.
I've been working on it. As I said, I'm kind of disappointed that he got off on one. I don't love that. I don't think that... I do realize that that has clouded every other thing he did in his career. So, I don't know where to... I don't think I like the guy. I don't think I particularly care whether I like the guy. I totally think he did it. I'm really unhappy about that. And I also am kind of unhappy that we have him to blame for the Kardashians. So... I'm
oh my
with
God,
that.
You're right.
Oh, I am fucking A right.
Anger level elevated.
I waited till the end to bring that
God.
One up.
Oh, God, I didn't realize
we
that.
We have him to blame for the Kardashians' popularity.
Okay.
Because his buddy, Rob Kardashian...
He's leaving it for you to wrap that one up with.
His buddy, Rob Kardashian, is the father of the Kardashians that we all know from the TV show in Kanye's life.
Hey, is that a person name?
I don't know. Maybe.
That could be a person name.
Maybe we got a connection.
Is he a warrior?
Shit. No, he's not. Rob Kardashian is not a warrior. He's played by fucking David Schwimmer, okay?
Chance, my turn?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Yeah, oh, my God. You look at people and you say, have they done bad things in their life? And if the answer is yes, you ask yourself, would you be willing to give them a chance and think that, you know, people change over time? Here's the thing. If I saw the cat in a bar, I would walk out of the bar. I don't have the he did it. We all know he did it. He's a piece of shit, and he's somewhere between the slime on the bottom of my shoe and the shit that I avoid stepping in. That's what he is. He is a horrible excuse for a human being, and no, just no. I can't see why people would sit there and defend him, defend his actions, stand by him. You are a piece of shit as an individual. You are morally bankrupt, and you still continue to play the victim on this. And I don't understand it. I don't agree with it. I don't like it. He managed to get through with a couple of legal loopholes, and he found them, and he had really good defense attorney.
Defense attorneys, he had a whole fucking team.
Yeah.
And they ruined Marsha Clark.
Yeah, that's what happens. And when you have money and you're able to hire the best of the best, and they are able to change public perception of you, you have to do it. And, you know, hopefully he gets to die lonely.
Yeah. Okay. Rupert's turn.
I don't know. The whole OJ thing was something I actively abstained from when it was going on. The only thing I didn't, you know, because I actually didn't really care whether he did it or not. Wow, some rich guy murdered some rich chick. Big deal. I don't care. The thing that I didn't like is what it said about us. Is like it turned everybody into morons while that trial was on. There were people that I kind of respected. There are people now where you can go into their office and you see a little shelf with a TV on it, and it's like, wow, dude, I thought you were a hard ass. Like, you have a TV set up in your office. Like, oh, I put that in for OJ. I haven't watched it since. You know, and there were people who did that. I didn't like that people were just so transfixed by this entire thing. It drove me nuts. I didn't like how it made people stupid, because there were people still like, do you think he did it? I don't know. And I was like, dude! The one thing in the entire trial that was not under contention, first of all, this is the first fashion trial. We knew the brand name of everything going on. We knew Ito used an Apple computer because it had that little thing coming on. We had the dopey Bruno Mali shoes, tracks, and then we had the fancy gloves that were some other fancy brand name. Where it's like, it made me think.
They sold like 9 pair of, exactly.
It made me think that the entire trial had been sponsored. And the thing that I didn't like about it was the one thing that was not in contention was that the gloves, everybody agreed that the gloves were worn by the killer. So if somebody had killed your ex-wife and you were invited to try them on, you wouldn't be sitting there goofing. like he did. He was sitting there goofing and making the goofy faces and stuff, and like I was just like, just on that basis, I was like, there's something really wrong with you. But like to me, I didn't really give a shit whether or not he did it. I don't have any anger towards him. I don't really care. To me, it was more what it said about us, that we were all mesmerized by this dopey trial that was the equivalent of a soap opera.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that's it.
And the Kardashians.
And that. Now we're sitting there with...